All right, so today we're going to be looking at chapter 20 of 1 Samuel. It's a precious chapter. It talks about friendship and the love of God. And I wanted to give a title to this message, and this is going to be Healthful Friendships. This is the story of the friendship between David and Jonathan. It represents actually one of the greatest friendships, human friendships in the Bible. They were two people that look after each other, and they were able to support one another at different levels in their lives. David, at this point, he was on the run from Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. So David comes to Jonathan asking for help. And Jonathan couldn't believe that his father, who had sworn that he will leave David alone, he will not kill him. Now, David was saying that Saul was after him. So they decided, they planned together to find out what was the real intention of Saul. Was he going to kill David, or this just something that David made up? And after doing that, they actually found out that Saul was willing to kill David. So they say goodbye to each other, and David continue fleeing from Saul for his life. That's his story, very simple. Yet, we're going to be looking at the basis of that friendship. And also, I'm going to be looking at three characteristics of helpful friendships based on what we will find in the text today. Now, before we do that, I want to highlight something very important. Verse 8, if you can look in your Bibles, verse 8 clearly outlines that between David and Jonathan, there was a covenant of friendship. There was an agreement between the two of them. And throughout the whole chapter, the language of the covenant of this agreement between the two of them that was already done in chapter 18 comes clearly to the surface. The words that we read, you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Also, we read terms such as the Lord is between you and me forever, or go in peace. Verse 42, the last verse of the chapter. Go in peace because we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord. And he continues saying, the Lord shall be between me and you, between my offspring and your offspring forever. So a covenant is just an agreement between two parties that have a common interest. And here a covenant is obviously representing human relationships. But beyond that human relationship between David and Jonathan, we are going to be also looking through this chapter into a different dimension. Friendships are horizontal when it comes to its dimension. But there is another dimension that is vertical with God. The vertical dimension in that God is involved also in that relationship between David and Jonathan. So as I said, there is going to be three parts to this message, and each one of them are going to focus on one characteristic of helpful friendships. The first one is going to be the security of a good friendship. The second one is going to be the commitment of a good friendship. And the third one is going to be the peace of a good friendship. Security, commitment, peace. Let's just start by the first one, the security of a good friendship. Well, the last thing that David is feeling at this moment in his life is secure. The opening words of chapter 20 in verse 1 tells us clearly that David is fleeing for his life. David is on the run. He's an outcast. He's an outlaw. His life is at stake. He's under death sentence by the very king of the kingdom in which he belongs to. King Saul is looking for him. And definitely life is not easy for David at this point. So what does David do when everything is against him? Well, he goes and looks for Jonathan, his dear friend, that happens to be, he's the son of the king that wants to kill him. He's back now into territory of the enemy. And he's putting his life at risk. And definitely, he finds Jonathan again. Well, what does he want to find Jonathan? Why? Why is he looking for Jonathan? Well, apparently there are things in her mind. There are questions in her mind that are not clear. He's asking himself, what I have done? Or what is my guilt in all this? Why I'm fleeing from Saul? Why is Saul seeking to kill me? Well, when you have difficult circumstances that really oppress you, and sometimes we are not having clarity on how to proceed on those circumstances. That's my case in many occasions. Sometimes in those situations, we need a good friend, someone that we trust, someone that can tell us what we are not seeing, or that can tell us what we know already, but by the fact of listening to someone else telling us, that we think that we put in order some perspective back in our lives. So for a period of time, that happens to us as well, right? We are kind of confused. We are to take a decision, or we are being shaken by some unexpected circumstances that we were not prepared for. And now we feel overwhelmed trying to understand a situation until you share it with a good friend that within a second tells you something that clears out your understanding and gives so much light. And that's definitely what David is seeking with his friend Jonathan. We know from the reading of the story that David is innocent, full stop. He hasn't committed any crime. David has been absolutely devoted to King Saul. And he has been respecting him, not only as a king, but as the Lord's anointed. Despised Saul, we know already, he was already despised by God. This was not really announced broadly. And David, he has no intention to threaten the kingdom of Saul at any time. And you can see that even in the way he approaches Jonathan here, he honors Saul. He honors the kingship of Saul and he honors his dynasty. We read in verse 1 that he came before Jonathan. This is, he comes as a subject before the crown prince. And more than that, if you put your eyes on verses 7 and 8, he calls Jonathan twice, or he refers to himself towards Jonathan as your servant. David considered himself a servant to Jonathan. So what a heart, what a humble heart. And then as we read the story, you discover that Jonathan has not known and has not heard what has been happening with David. Back in chapter 19, Jonathan came to his dad. He said, and they had a conversation, and Saul promised he will not touch the life of David. And this is the last thing that he keeps in mind, Jonathan. This is where he was left. Behind scenes, Saul has been chasing David, willing to kill him. And now David comes back to Jonathan, and Jonathan cannot believe that his dad, his father, is now willing to kill David again. So there is a bit of a disconnect here between David and Jonathan. Jonathan trying to understand why you are saying that, David. My dad is not doing this. And I just want to pause here for a small reflection. I think it's very interesting, the reaction of Jonathan. It's interesting that Jonathan is taking his dad's part here. Maybe it's that kind of niceness that sometimes prevents somebody from seeing a harsh reality. Some of us, when we see evil in someone, we are sometimes hesitant to actually deal with the evil in someone. We'd rather think the best than face the facts sometimes. That may be even accentuated more with the people that we love, with the people that are closest to us. We try not to see the evil. And maybe Jonathan is a bit like that in this situation. So David reinforces the seriousness of the situation to his friend Jonathan. And in verse 3 tells him, I'm a step away from death. That is definitely a statement. And that made Jonathan to conclude, okay, let's explore, let's inquire together as friends, what's going on here. And definitely that was the way that David was feeling in this situation. He was not feeling safe. Yet he feels safe to go to the crown prince when he was the greatest threat. David was the greatest threat to the very throne of Jonathan. And what takes David to Jonathan? The clear answer is the covenant, the agreement between the two of them that we already read in chapter 18. If you look at chapter 20 and verse 8, you can see this. David says to Jonathan, therefore, deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. So he goes right into enemy territory. He approaches his enemy's son, and he does so boldly because of the covenant of the Lord that was between the two of them in their friendship. And as I said before, a covenant can be both human, but can also be divine. In this case, between these two, this is a human relationship, a human covenant. Jonathan, who was in this point in history, the one in a position of power and authority, had acted in loving kindness towards David, the lesser, at this point. But the most interesting part of the story, as the story of both unfold, and later on, David will be crowned, taking the throne of Israel, it will be the other way around. Then it will be David doing mercy towards the offspring of Jonathan. And maybe you remember the beautiful story of Mephibosheth, and that will come later in the next chapters. But in this situation, the one in authority is Jonathan. He is the son of the king, and David, the one fleeing under sentence of death. But they had this mutual commitment to the covenant friendship. This is what gives David the boldness to come to Jonathan in this situation, because he knows that Jonathan will do his part on this commitment to the covenant. So David is taking the covenant as firm, as safe, despite, think about David, put yourself into his shoes in this time in his life. Despite the circumstances will certainly push David's senses away from getting even closer to the royal house. Yet, intentionally, with a choice, respecting that covenant, he trusts the covenant with Jonathan as firm and as safe. So notice something important. It says, this is the covenant of the Lord. So a covenant between two humans, but they include the Lord in that relationship. Both Jonathan and David were faithful believers. They share the same faith. They believe in the true God. They share a common understanding of life. So the covenant play here, the covenant between the two, they play by the rules and by the principles of God's law and character. Does David trust that he will be safe with Jonathan, regardless the hatred of Saul? Well, when we look at the relationship between these two men, we have a glimpse into what is possible between two human beings when it comes to friendship. But beyond that, we have a glimpse into the fact that the triune God created us. And by offering his son for our sins, he established a covenant of grace and love between him and everyone that comes to Christ for forgiveness of their sins. And that's very important. And we will get to the climax of this whole passage, specifically talking about this relationship with God. In Christ's redemptive work, we can now approach with boldness the throne of grace, standing in Christ's righteousness because of what? Not because of our self-righteousness, because of the covenant and all the promises we have in God that are firm and that they are secure. What a safe place to be for David. What a safe place to be for us as believers coming to God, the one that has written, established a covenant with people that were their enemies. God, merciful and gracious, is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He's firm, he's secure, his love is steadfast, which means constant, unchanging. And the Lord confirmed this very truth to Moses in Exodus chapter 34. He said to Moses, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And steadfast love isn't alterable at all. When circumstances hit, we are very sensitive to circumstances and we alter, but God is an alter by any circumstance that is being produced under his creation. That doesn't go the way our affections and emotions go. What a place to be. What a firm and secure place to be. And you can have that kind of relationship on a human level to some degree with good friends here in earth. That's possible to some degree. But we already have, and that's the truth I want to bring to the table now. We already have that relationship permanently and in its fullness with God in a secure and firm way. In a permanent way. So when everything else seems to be falling away in our lives, God's steadfast love for his people remains. Remember that, dear brother, dear sister. Remember, steadfast love of God remains despite how we perceive God, how we feel about God, how we feel about life. We can always come to him. He's safe, he's secure. We are no longer his enemies. There is a covenant that is covering us in Christ. His covenant of love is secure. Number two, the commitment of good friendships. The commitment, the security of good friendships, which is covered now, the commitment of good friendships. Now, verses 12 to 34 moves our attention from David's anxieties because of his situation to Jonathan and his firm commitment to David, advocating for him in front of his father and honoring the covenant of friendship between the two of them. So there is commitment. It's not only declaration of covenant, of a covenant that provides a safe space for both of them to be together despite the circumstances, but there is also commitment. And commitment comes with a choice, with intention, with the execution of your will to honor that commitment. And this is this part of the story where Jonathan goes back to the royal house and finds the anger of his father's soul. His father doesn't argue with him at all about David. The fact that David does not show at the table for the second day in a row makes Saul very angry. He was mad. And he yells at Jonathan. And he even throws his spear to his very son, Jonathan, to strike him. So Jonathan knew that his father was definitely determined to kill David. He didn't need any other proof than that. So verse 31 is an insight into the way that Saul was looking at David. And I would like to read the verse. This is going to be verse 31. So Saul is talking to his son in anger, and he said, "For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Therefore, send and bring him to me, or he shall surely die." You can even imagine, right, the wrath, the anger, the madness of Saul. So he was mad about the succession of the throne. That was the very concern. He knew he was despised. Yet he saw this young man rising and becoming more and more influential in the kingdom. Even the son, even my son, is getting so close to him, and he seems to be protecting him. And now he turns to his son and he says, "Jonathan, don't you see? Don't you see what I see? So clear. Your succession at my throne is at stake." Saul understood what he thought Jonathan didn't understand. The real issue about David is the succession to the throne. David is going to rule. Saul did not know at this point who was the appointed of God to replace him. However, Saul worked this out somehow. Not because of anything David has done to make it so evident, but because of things that he himself has noticed about David. He himself, in his better days, said several times, "The Lord is with David. The Lord is with David." Well, Saul recognized that he was a leader. David was a leader with influence at this point, even above himself. What is even more insightful is what answer his son will give to him. Remember, answers to questions and how you respond to situations is a commentary of your own heart, always. It's important to listen in between lines and also to understand, why am I reacting to this situation this way? Well, maybe this is what is in my heart. Maybe this is what is taking over my thoughts at this point. Well, the answer of David shows really, sorry, the answer of Jonathan to his dad definitely shows his heart. While Saul is making the point about succession and the throne, and this is why I'm going to kill David, Jonathan answered Saul, his father, verse 32. "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Did you hear anything about succession? About any interest on the throne? Anything? All the concern of Jonathan was, my friend David, he hasn't committed any crime. Why he should be put to death? So Jonathan completely ignores the concerns of his dad about the succession of the throne. He's not interested about the throne, but the life of his dear friend David, with whom, remember, he has a covenant and he's fully committed to respect it, respect and fulfill that covenant. Now, this that we see in Jonathan is still true today. When Jonathan did what Jonathan did in his lifetime is this. He sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Literally, he puts that kingdom above his own kingdom. Maybe Jonathan was not as clear as David was going to be the next king at this point. But he already, through that covenant of friendship, is making this clear that one day, David, the anointed of the Lord, is going to take over. And then the full dynasty of Jonathan is going to have to submit to his rulership. Well, we can't say the same of his father, Saul. While Jonathan was not seeking his own interest, Saul was. He was rather interested in the kingdom of me, Saul. This means me, myself, and I having center stage. I'm interested in my dynasty. Despite what God is saying, that I am despised, despite that he knew no one from his house will sit at the throne after him, he was fighting this. Getting my own way, doing my own thing, having my own plans, no matter what God wants, I pursue what I want, even if this is foolishly, as foolish as hitting your head against a solid wall of the sovereignty will of God. You know this is coming to you, yet you come with your old foolishness and hit your head once again against the will of God that will be fulfilled. You see the hardness of the heart, soul. But the person who understands the kingdom of God, like Jonathan, puts the kingdom of God above the kingdom of me, lives for what is important in God's purpose. I want to be with the one that is with the Lord, and the Lord is with. That is Jonathan's heart, and we can learn lots about this. So look around and ask yourself, who is the Lord with? Who is the Lord with? He is definitely with King Jesus. And that's reality today. He's the anointed one. He's the appointed one. I want to be on Jesus' side. He is the king. Whatever the world offers me, whatever the world teases me with or entices me with, I want to be with Jesus. On the last day of my life, I want to be seen with him, representing him, fully committed to the covenant of steadfast love. And that's our part on the covenant, following him. And finally, the third point of the message, the peace of a good friendship, the peace of a good friendship. The plan of David and Jonathan worked. Jonathan let David know about the intentions of Saul, and David, please. And we read the story of the arrows and all this plan that they had definitely worked for them. And no one knew what was happening, only David and Jonathan. And then they finally meet to say goodbye. And at the end of the chapter, we find that Jonathan is the one who speaks a word of peace into David's heart. Verse 42, then Jonathan said to David, go in peace. Peace of a good friendship. Go in peace. Well, let me remind you what was going to happen in David's life from that point onwards. While Jonathan is saying, go in peace, David was going to face the next few years. He was going to be fugitive. He was going to be an outlaw. He was going to be running again from Saul. He was a wanted man under the sentence, the death sentence. He was going to be oppressed by his enemies. He was going to have things go wrong for him. Yet his friend Jonathan says, go in peace. So why would Jonathan say, go in peace, David? Well, first, Jonathan didn't have a clue about what was going to happen in David's life. But there are more insights behind this, obviously. This peace is directly dependent upon the participation of God in their agreement, in their covenant. Remember, this friendship was a friendship of two with the presence of the one God. Was the Lord shall be between me and you, between my offspring and your offspring forever. Definitely that was prophetical of what was going to happen years later, as I mentioned, when David takes over the throne. There could be peace in the midst of the circumstances, even those circumstances that David was going to face, because there was peace between them and the Lord. To put it in today's language, the three of them, David, Jonathan, and God, were on the same page. Let me correct that. David and Jonathan were on the right page according to God's will. Go in peace because the Lord is with us. And as you and I have a covenant, we also have a covenant with God, and we know God is firm. His steadfast love is firm and secure and will keep us. We can always escape vertically to the throne of grace. In whatever concerns to David and Jonathan and each of their offspring, they have sworn peace. Let's make sure that our offsprings are in peace. And David later on will honor this commitment. In whatever concerns to their lives individually, when we part ways, when we don't see each other, Jonathan and David, the Lord will be with them. And we will be in their peace. And God will be our peace. So that's why Paul can write to the Romans and say, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all these, he's saying all this, despite he's talking about afflictions, he's talking about troubles, he's talking about tribulations, that we suffer by the fact of being humans and living in this earth, and even facing the potential of death. In the midst of all that, he says, there is peace with God. That is the place of calm in the midst of the storm. The peace of good friendships. So we are concluding. Maybe a couple more minutes. This friendship they had was a great human friendship. I wish we could have many good friends as Jonathan and David. May God bless us with those kinds of human relationships. These three general characteristics in this friendship are a very good guidance, actually, for us to help us choose the right friendships in earth. And maybe we can look at the three characteristics and ask ourselves, looking at what kind of friendships do we have in earth? Are they safe? Are they a safe place for us? Are they seeking the best common interest? Or they want us close because of them, like Saul, the kingdom of me? Are they loyal? Are they committed? Will they be faithful even when things get uneasy? Or they will leave us aside because we are no longer needed? Will they bring peace, or will they bring trouble to our lives? This is very good guidance for everybody, especially for young people. How do you choose your friendships? Ask yourself these questions. Is it safe? Is this a safe place for me to be in? Are they going to be faithful if I open up myself and tell them my secrets? Will they bring peace or trouble to me? But beyond that, I don't want to finish with this human focus. I want to finish more with our relationship with God. Jonathan and David's friendships points out to this greater relationship, which is our personal relationship with God. When things are going right or wrong in life, will you remember God's promises and his steadfast love? Will you remember what is a safe place for you to go to? In prayer, in the work of redemption, we willingly enter a covenant with God. God is holding his part, and he will hold it firm, permanently, constantly, and secure. God made all the work. There's nothing we have done in salvation. We just accepted the gift of grace in Jesus Christ and all the blessings that poured out from that cross towards our lives. Now we can benefit from his friendship in these three dimensions. We have a secure place in God. God's steadfast love is firm and secure. We can come to him with boldness even when we feel that we don't deserve anything. Are we drawing closer to the throne of grace when things get complicated? Or we just try to find our own solutions, running like a chicken without a head? David did many times this. As we can read in Psalms, he approached the throne of grace. He had good earthly friends, and he had close relationship with God. Number two, in this relationship with God, we have God's commitments to his own promises. He will never fail to his part. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's a faithful father to us. How about us? How are you holding your part of this covenant? How is your commitment to God? Kind of loose? Are you fully committed? Are you being honorable in your relationship with God, holding your part in this? And your part is not other than just follow God. Love him with all your heart. Are you on God's side, willing to fulfill his purpose in your life? Or you are still trying to figure out what is your place in earth? Number three, in Christ, we have peace warranted. We have the warranty of peace that comes with a covenant. If the covenant was an agreement, a written agreement, there is a warranty there. There is a clause that clearly states there is peace. There is peace in this covenant, in this relationship of love. Christ is our Prince of Peace. He destroyed the power of sin in your life, so you don't have to fight, to battle, to be in trouble. You can be now in communion with God. And being in Christ is our peace. He is peace. And when we are in Christ, definitely the fruit of the Spirit generates that peace in us. So with God's peace in our hearts, we can sing this old hymn that came to my mind when I was preparing for this. And I feel tempted to sing it, but I'm not going to sing it. But definitely when I was studying, I was singing this. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, you know what comes now? It is well with my soul. May God bless you, dear brother, dear sister. And if you are here and you don't know this peace, I invite you to open your heart to the very Prince of Peace that can not only save you from your sins, but also can take you through this life in this unspoken peace in this world. Is the peace of our Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, for the good example of the friendship between David and Jonathan. And we are more thankful even about the friendship that you have established between us enemies and the Lord Jesus Christ through his own righteousness. We are thankful for the covenant of grace and for the steadfast love that is firm and secure place for us to go, to flee whenever we are facing difficulties. Help everybody here to understand, where do they stand in this covenant? Are they part of the covenant with God? Are they out? And may you work out your salvation, Lord, in our hearts for forgiveness of sins and also for sanctification. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.